Call the Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, October 23rd to order at 8:46 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation. Hill, Bauman, Tiemann, Dorn, Byers, and Lytle. First up, the consent agenda. General agenda, approved minutes of the meeting held October 9th, 2019. Approve all claims through October 23rd, 2019 in the amount of $1,149,609.83, except claim number 19100125 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $832.25. And claim number 19100213 to Hard Rock Quarries in the amount of $2,113.28 to be voted on separately below. Approved and placed on file. Correspondence received. Approved utility permit number 1141 to Windstream Nebraska LLC. They'll be installing the telephone line into existing pedestal number 197PD. Located 1,260 feet south of Southwest 29th and West Gate Road, and plowing in cable going west on private property to State of Nebraska Tower Building. Located in northeast quarter section 5, Township 6 North, Range 6 East, Highland Township. Approved utility permit number 1142 to RDG Geoscience and Engineering Inc. They will be installing a groundwater remediation system, two air injection wells. Will be located within the county right-of-way on the north side of A Street, approximately 20 feet north of the center line of A Street between 1st and 2nd Street in Holmesville. Wells will be bored 8.75 inches in diameter, 40 feet deep. 2-inch diameter PVC air conveyance piping will be connected to each of the injection wells and trenches excavated by a backhoe 2 foot wide by 3.5 feet deep, located in the northwest quarter, southwest quarter, northeast quarter, section 29, Township 3 North, Range 7 East, Rockford Township. Approve utility permit number 1143 to Diller Telephone. It will be boring and plowing in approximately 12 miles of fiber cable. It will bore 5 feet to 10 feet below all creeks, culverts, and road crossings, 3-inch diameter, encased in 1 1/4-inch smooth wall pipe. Plowing will be placed as close to the 33-foot right-of-way as possible, 4 to 5 foot below greater ditch located in the south side of section 34, Township 3 North, Range 5 East, Lincoln Township, south side of sections 8, 9, 10, 11, and 16, north side of sections 9 and 10, east side of section 16, west side of sections 3, 9, 12, 16, and all in Township 2 North, Range 5 East, Elm Township.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Lytle. Any discussion or items to be pulled off? Seeing none, vote. 6 in favor. The motion carries. Regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 19100125 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $832.25 and claim number 1. We have to do those separately.
No, because you're both of them.
Okay. Yeah. And claim number 19100213 to Hard Rock Quarries in the amount of $2,113.28. This brings the total amount of claims approved through October 23rd, 2019 to $1,152,554.36.
I would move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Hill. Discussion?
You think this is necessary?
More than likely. Vote. 5 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. If anyone from the public has anything to say that's not on the agenda, now would be the time. All right, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights.
Dave.
Good morning.
This is Dave Jones. My boss, he runs this building.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. I'm trying to make it through here without coughing. I'm not sick, but I think the dust has been bothering me here lately. So, still fine. Greg Dennis from Masonry Construction, I talked to him after our last meeting. We did have him scheduled to start in October, to start on the southeast corner for stone repair. Actually, we had him scheduled for September, and then we had the jury trial that might have happened, and it did not. So we went for October. Well, with the way the weather's been, he's been delayed, and after talking to him, he was afraid that he has a month's worth of work that it would be getting too cold by the time he would be finishing up with it. So we postponed that until next spring. The drunk tank over at the detention center, about 3 weeks ago, there was a new make a riplet. It's a toilet sink combination off the wall. Did some serious damage to it. The plumbers did come and repaired it, but there was still a leak in the push button valve. When they went to replace that, the whole ceiling valve kind of fell apart, and that's a special order type item. So that as far as this week, you have the drunk tank has been out of commission. So I just talked to the sheriff this morning, and he said they are dealing with it. They're working around that. So that part should be in, I think, for the end of this week. Get that going again. The West Garage remodel is doing good. We did have one small holdup. The metal door frames are being made with the cutouts for the Infinius card reader system. So those should be coming in this week. And so as soon as they put those in, they'll start drywalling. They did cut a penetration in the ceiling. That worked really well, and they do have the opening going, connecting the two together going upstairs. They're actually working on the stairs today, so I think we'll see a lot of work happening here all of a sudden, and that is definitely the hardest part of that job. So once that gets completed, I think the rest of it will start going really fast. I started on changing out the streetlights to LED. We have so much trouble with the ballast on those not working on and off, and so I thought, well, this will be an easy project. It is, except the bolts are so frozen into the cover plate that I'm having an issue trying to get those out. So I'm going to just work those into my schedule where I can get some of those off and change those out as I have time. And last thing is the vet's office. We created a real small room just so they can have like a video conference for veterans to go in and talk to their doctors. And that is pretty much complete. I do just have to install a light in there yet, and then that'll be ready to go.
Did they, when they cut through the ceiling, did they perforate that roof membrane also?
They did.
Is that all buttoned back up?
It is not. They just have it watertight with tarps and everything at this time yet, but they're going to get Skyline in, and it sounds like they're going to actually just build up a deck and wrap that around like a real small parapet wall, wrap that around, and then cover it up with an actual piece of fabricated metal, almost like a door, but it won't be a door, but just cover it up with metal. It's so close to the wall, there's a window there that they, after looking at it, they're afraid to wrap that in that little 6-inch part. It would be real hard for Skyline to get in there to do any of the hot seam welding, so they're going to just put a lid on it.
Anything else for Dave? Get better.
Dave. Thank you.
Thank you. Equalization. Finance and insurance.
Just some claims of note here. Region 5's EPC bill is about $13,585. Washington County boarding of our inmates, $13,836. Beatrice Concrete, sand and gravel, $36,313. Rock on, hauling of rock, $12,241. Set rubbers fuel, $20,730. You see a claims paid on Gage County Employee Health Insurance, $31,275. Emergency Management Fund with the City of Beatrice, $55,697. You'll see a payment to the voter approved road bond, $600,445.
Human Resources and Employee Relations. Law enforcement emergency management.
Discussion we had Monday with some personnel. Eric, like to discuss a little bit more. We had in the budget this time around, this time anyway, was for drug investigator full time. He'd like to throw in that idea out a little bit more to see where we're at. That was the last cut we took, I believe, before the finalized. Took a good share of that budget out of that side of it anyway for the investigator. So we're just here to discuss that again, see if there's anything anybody wants to do on that. Need some direction to make sure one way or another, so I know what I'm going to be doing over there. I've done a few things since we met Monday, but it's not going to be anywhere close to what it needs to be. But anyway, having said that, opening back up on discussion, what we want to do with an investigator with drugs at this time.
Sheriff asked me if we should go ahead and move forward with that. Supervisor Lytle said he thought that's a good idea to have that drug investigator, which I agree with. But I didn't want to tell him to go ahead and do that because that'll leave us short at the end of the year potentially. I still wonder if there are other things we can move around, which I would love to help with.
Sure you would.
To find dollars in different places so that we could put that money towards that full-time drug investigator. I guess before telling him he could do that, I want the board to make a recommendation.
Well, and if he was to add another position, it wouldn't be the entire cost of the position because there should be a significant reduction in overtime hours.
For him, it should be, yes.
Yes. And for a number of your other employees that are having to cover.
Well, they'll put him back to three on that his night shift, so he was splitting his time between both duties. So, I mean, you're being three where you'd be full-time there. He'd be still on the outside of that working direction. So his overtime would be somewhat different.
I will say too, the sheriff's been watching different expenses between the jail and the sheriff's department. Once we watch some of the expenditures, there's significant savings in a lot of the different line items. There was also a position that was moved to Wymore that freed up some dollars there, and I think part of that was going to go to your drug investigator originally.
That's correct.
So I mean, that'll free up 20-30% of that position to start with.
Well, the split between position and back. Four and then his. So I think
potentially half.
Yeah, probably. But I think the last round cut was about 33 and some change, which you made on it, and I think that made a difference on having that. So I suppose half. Yeah.
Do you need an additional vehicle or any other equipment?
His vehicle, where we're leasing because of undercover work, that'd probably be his vehicle. Unless he needs to fill in for some emergency reason, the new person would simply take over his vehicle. So that should be a wash.
I guess what's the opinion of the board? Is that something we want to move forward with? It's how he spends the money, like Gary says, is not our management issue. But if he's going to be short because of something we ask him to do, I think that's fair that he comes and asks us. I still hope there's money that can be moved around within the budget. Maybe sell some Humvees or something like that.
What are we looking at total cost here as we're projecting?
Roundabout numbers, I'd say an average person would be in the $60,000 range with benefits.
Probably. You've been here a few years.
Part of that would be subsidized by Sergeant Shepherdson.
By his wages?
Yeah, by his Shepherdson's wages since he went to Wymore. So I would say we'd get probably, pessimistically, 40% from that. Then with some cut overtime, probably another 10% could be made up. So there'd be half of that those wages to find from other places, probably.
The wage from Shepherdson was in the jail, and this is the sheriff.
He moved those around in the budget, though.
He just had to show more. He can't move. Show more in the sheriff's sites.
Right. It was some of what from the jail sites on Broadway. Yeah.
Right.
The sheriff's site.
anything else for first year would be transition grade, see how it goes. I mean, obviously, see how the money turned out and what else I can save on it, but if you start playing anyway.
Thoughts, direction? I know your thoughts. And I echoed those again to the sheriff.
I did call around and talk about six or seven other sheriffs and chief deputies that are in the area on how they do a lot of things. Most everybody does 12s, which they said the same thing. If they do 12s, it works out fine until somebody's gone or for some reason, for whatever it might be. And then they all have, a lot of them have part-time jobs, which comes back to cause problems. So we're not in this alone. It's an issue all over. And so we're going to deal with it. Also, guys, curtailing outside employment, that will be a huge thing we'll have to sit down and discuss with them. Because I still have at least that authority to do things on the scheduling anyway yet. So
I think any way that we can support the agencies that are working with our youth and their parents, families, as far as these drug issues are concerned, we need to support them every way we can. We have a tremendous issue here in Gage County, as we do all over the state and the country, but we need to be supportive of our programs, and that means supporting our school and everything that they're doing. So let's contend. I think this program needs to be maintained.
Well, I think if we get the point, like I said before, when the grants open up and money, Trump lets the money get down in the coffers again, I'll approach Warren, I'll try to apply for a grant like the city did for school resource, and already had one person trained up for that. If we get to where we have a shift where he's at, then that takes care of that problem, and he's out at the schools doing what Dean's talking about. Exactly what he's supposed to be about is making those the contacts and making those relationships so that if you're comfortable to talk to an officer by his first name, not the badge. It's a huge, huge difference here for him. I know I've talked to their school resource officer, so I mean, it's a good program.
I think everybody would be shocked at how many kids stop and talk to our resource officers at the school and talk to them about the problems that they're having as a family.
Well, and it's, I always said it's not if something, it's when. We've had an incident in our county with a school student that had been expelled, and then one not just too long ago, just outside of our county. That was a real problem that should have dealt with a little differently, but not my county. But anyway, so it's out there even in our areas. I mean, so don't fool ourselves. It's around.
And if you look, I've said it before, if you look at the Beatrice Daily Sun every single day that they publish, you have articles on the front page about people arrested for drug use, and it's terrific here.
Sad. It really is.
Supervisor Dorn?
I think it's, we got to support it. It definitely is going to help.
Supervisor Hill?
I think we have to support it. I do think we need to look at how much overtime is going to be saved and how much of the funding is going to actually cost us. It's going to be a full amount.
Supervisor Brown?
We'll get talked out on Monday. I mean, operationally, you've got other staff issues over there.
Absolutely.
We've got a big price tag, $28 million. We got to pay. There's no meat left on the bone.
I know.
So it's squeezing, and it's going to be tough.
Well, it is.
There's going to be cuts.
It does. Yeah. And what it does is puts you in a rock and a hard place, because either I'm going to have to try to get something done over here, or I'm not going to have people, because they're flat out going to leave, because they can't do anything right now. The problem you have is if you start changing up your schedules, that changes up the days off, and it's all about have a weekend off once in a while, which if I change away from 12, they will lose those. And I know right now that will be a killer. Other sheriffs said the same thing. You try to adjust from what I was used to what it is now. If you indicate money, a lot of things are changing. But like it or not, it's just the way things are going to be. We have to compete. We're not going to have quality candidates. The one I'll introduce here in a little bit, very fortunate to get him. Very good candidate. He's going to be here for a few years. He's born and raised in the Wood area, so he'll work out. I know what you're saying, Adam, but I do what I got to do for the office.
I I guess you have the support of the board, obviously. I will ask you to keep in mind the sheriff's department didn't run over last year, but the jail budget did. We have one place to take those extra dollars out. There's only one account to take those extra dollars out, and those generally go primarily to the jail. So just keep that in mind. Otherwise, we'd have to open the budget and completely move things around.
We don't have any place to go. We're up at 50 cents.
Well, yeah, there isn't anywhere else to go. So
yeah. It is what it is.
When you're out of bucks, you're out of bucks. That's it.
Can we amend that budget, though, and take money out of the inheritance fund, can't we, Don?
Well, we can spend out of the inheritance.
Right.
Yeah, we can do that now.
I just say, kind of like Matt said Monday, manage your department. Take the dollars you have and get the most out of them. I think there's more to it than just adding people. And if it's changing shifts or moving things around or telling people they can't have two and three or two extra jobs because they're burnt out, it's kind of a tough argument when staff comes and says they're burnt out, but they're working two more extra jobs doing law enforcement.
Well, the sheriff said, and one already looking, just doing away with that. We'll see where that goes. It might come down to that. Because I told him, I said, the key to it is they're making more hourly doing those jobs than do time and a half here. Not that we all fight.
Well, it's kind of like saying you don't like to swim, but you're teaching swim lessons at night. I mean, it doesn't really work.
There's no benefit to us from doing it. There's no training they're getting from doing it. And that's what the sheriff and I talked about. It doesn't benefit us at all. It benefits them. We can try to work with them best we can.
Well, keep looking into stuff. You had some good ideas from Johnson County, and see what you can do. But I guess Matt and Gary both were pretty adamant Monday, it sounded like. But the drug problem is a problem. Maybe we could focus on drugs and burglary and maybe take some focus away from speeding tickets.
Well, you'll see speeding tickets are a minor number compared to the last year we've had over the report here by next month. They had over $200,000 in thefts and losses. So it's going up, and if I do anything where we cut back on patrol, I'm just afraid that'll get worse. But I'll do things I have to deal with when the problems come up, I guess. So.
Does that give you a little more direction, Sheriff?
Yeah, I'll just give it a try, and I'll sit down, talk about more time, and see what we can do.
Come back one of these times and tell us how much you're going to save for the year.
Yeah, well, when we could arresting people, that'd probably be a little savings. But unfortunately, you know the jail one, you're never going to figure out on that one. It is what it is. So, Gary, anything from sheriff's side for law enforcement? Or, no? Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Good luck. Road and Bridge.
I asked again about the truck bridge east of 27 Island Grove as to whether or not it was on the state bridge match list. And unfortunately, it didn't meet the requirements for it. There is talk that that is revised and that's what we looked at again, and hopefully it'll meet the next round or have a following act. Galen talked to us about any state help on the Cook Road and the Rockford Road. Manelli wasn't very hopeful. We're going to do some more looking into that. We discussed possible miles for overlay, those miles being the 2 miles of the Hoyt Road to the north-south part, the north 5 miles of the Homeshore Road, and Pickerel Leash, which is the 4 miles east of 82nd going over the Philly Evans Road. We had a rather long discussion with three representatives from Caterpillar as far as some issues we've had with the Caterpillar engine and repairs, and it's past warranty now. There is more repairs needed. We asked them to check on if it could be warranty. They weren't hopeful, but that will be coming. We discussed trees along the roadways and what the requirements are. There was significant discussion at the NACO meeting that in the other counties that that may need to be more defined in statute and maybe clarify the statute and make it a little bit more restrictive.
Galen, do you have anything else for Road and Bridge? Or I assume you haven't got any information yet from Mark Manelli on any of those time frames or dollar amounts on mill overlays.
No, I talked to him yesterday, sent him some information on the road miles and asked basically how fast he
Anything else for Road and Bridge? We have a timed event at 9:30. We'll go over that for now, or skip past that for now, and go to Larry Alder to discuss a potential text amendment to the wind regs. Could you state your name and address for the record?
Greg Vaughn of Duvia.
Yes, sir.
My name is Larry Alder, 2498 West Ash Road.
I'm Yvonne Mahaka, 2331 West Ash Road.
But we represent the Prairie Wind Watchers. We want to talk about the text amendment that we applied for. We understood when we first applied for it that it would be heard before a special permit would be put in for wind turbines, but we understand that's not so. We believe the wind regulations need to be updated. When we first did this 5 years ago, the turbines planned were 385 feet tall. Now they're talking 500 to 600 foot turbines, and our 3/8 of a mile setbacks is way too close. Also, the sound, the sound is tested. If you, I don't know if you guys have read our text amendment. Have you guys seen that copy of that?
No, it goes through the planning and zoning first before it gets up there.
Okay. So I've discussed it with some of you guys about it anyway, and Dennis didn't want, he wanted to talk about here in public, so I want to kind of get your feelings about that, what you think about that, or text amendment.
Wait a minute. It has to go to planning and zoning first, then there's a recommendation from that commission to this board. So testing the waters up here is not in line with the protocol. Okay.
So how do we get it forward? We've been waiting for since
spring.
Well,
we've been talking with Lisa. See, I believe she's got it tentatively scheduled for the next meeting for that planning zone. We've talked about that. But again, that would be Lisa, when's the next meeting?
So our next meeting is contingent upon the harvest season since we have volunteers and so forth. But just to clarify,
Lisa, could you talk into that mic or into this one just so we have it on record? Thank you.
So at the time that we received the amendment of asking for us to reconsider the planning commission to reconsider the setbacks, I believe it was set at 1 mile, correct? So that document was presented for discussion to the planning and zoning commission. We had just completed our revision of the zoning regulations and had everything discussed and so forth, and so no setbacks were directed at that particular time. So the Planning Commission took the action of sending that up to the County Attorney's Office for a review of what procedure we needed to do, because we had never been asked to amend any of our current regulations, so we wanted to make sure we understood what we needed to do. So that was directed up to them, so we've been waiting for the determination. It is the feeling of the commission that they wanted some direction from the county board to know, you know, which direction we needed to go, and that was in the procedure side of the amendment, not technically the 1,000 or the 1 mile setback. It was just procedurally, and so that's what the county attorney was reviewing for us. But we've not received a determination yet as to how we need to proceed with this. I want to also clarify at the time that we received the proposed amendment that it was shortly after the determination of Lancaster County they've done it twice, I guess. You guys would, I don't know the exact dates, but they revised their text regulations as far as from 1 mile and then reverted back to a lesser. So that was all in this transition time, so we wanted to make sure that we were directing the asking of the amendment process with the county attorney that we played. So we have brought it up at every meeting, you know, as to where we are on the amendment process, and so we're still waiting for a determination as to what we need to do.
Right. And the biggest thing right now is the notice requirement, which we're researching to see. We've got a lot of people out there that have arrangements. I don't know how else to describe them. It depends with potential windmill and installations that we're looking at whether or not we have to give them specific notice. We've talked about that.
Yeah, I did start the preliminary process of how we notify all the potential people in Gage County, because there's a sizable amount of wind easements that we have that have been granted for Gage County. And I need some type of direction as to how do we properly notify all these people, in effect, if we're directed to proceed with the proper notification for the amendment. So
we need to know what, to give proper notification, we need to know what proper notification is.
That's basically where we're at. And Lisa's right, that's what we're looking at right now. And again, it's something that there's not a lot of direction out there. But we do have, as opposed to general, like when over the last 2 years, we did an extensive review of all of our planning and zoning issues, including the wind regulations. And as opposed to a situation like this, where it's a specific regulation, in other words, the setback requirement on a windmill. Wind turbine. It's not
We're also up in the rigs on sound too, because we need to be updated. Well, things have changed since the last time.
Well, things change from the time you got up here to the time we're talking now.
Okay.
So you can't just continually alter that based on the new studies from somebody else. Again, the federal government continues to subsidize these things. So
that's not my fault.
What?
That's not my fault.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to, as far as who the research that's out there. Uh-huh. Again, if I won't say nothing more about that.
Okay. But as we go through this process, they'll have an opportunity to speak to this board, talk to the planning commission.
P&Z first.
Right. And my direction was, how do I properly notify those individuals that have land easements that already have are filed in this county? And so when we get to, if we do have a hearing process, I was waiting for direction as to what the proper method to do that, so that we make sure all those individuals are properly notified that have signed land easements in Gage County.
John?
My question on that is, there's been signed easements for a number of years, going back more than 5 years.
That is correct.
So those would have been in effect the last time we reviewed all these issues.
One thing to keep in mind, too, Matt,
what about easements? Would you have to notify those folks that have signed easements that haven't registered those yet? How many are in the winds? How many are in the winds that we don't know about because it's a private industry and it's private? That's the pickle here, is that how do we make sure we follow this process appropriately when we don't know who got what, and the extermination that it causes between neighbors, and some folks that probably don't want that uncovered.
That is the question I had at the time, as I go through proper procedure, that I needed direction, to be fair to all taxpayers that have signed easements and that have not, to protect their real estate.
The other thing to keep in mind, too, is talking to Larry, and correct me if I'm wrong, we made sure that we documented when you put that request for amendment in. Regardless, and counsel, correct me if I'm wrong also, regardless of when that text amendment request went in, any applications before or after are governed by existing code until there'd be an actual, if and when there'd be an actual change to the amendment or to the regs, then anything after that point. So it's not when the text amendment request went in. It would be if it's ever ratified or approved, anything after that. There's nothing retroactive on anything as far as when an amendment request or anything like that. So I wanted to make sure on that before I said that to you. I believe that's correct. And So even though a text amendment went in at X date, any permits that are filed for before or after that still are governed by the existing regs. The only time that would change is if at some point in the future, P&Z goes through the process, makes a recommendation to the board approves a change, Then, if there's a request for permit or permit taken out after that point, then that would change it. So, any of the wind farm projects that are out there right now, this doesn't affect any of them. It would just be any future potential projects.
Okay. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
That would happen after this.
Yes, but once again, if they apply for a special permit today, we'll go under the regulations that are current right now.
Yes.
So our protection amendment wouldn't make any difference. What we're asking for.
No.
So we have to be heard before that. That's why we're asking today.
It has to be approved before.
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out, that process. That's what we're here today. We want to get that process done before a special permit is put in, because we feel the regulations need to be updated.
Matt?
How many active permits do we have now?
So I have three applications that I submitted to you through your report for MET towers, of which two are on hold and most likely haven't been pulled yet. And I have another one in the Hanover District, Hanover Township, for a MET tower. However, again, these are MET towers that can be approved within my office by the administrator. Doesn't have to have a special use permit, but is still in the review process, and I have not received any payments. So
at this point, the MET tower, though, through our regulations, doesn't establish intent. It just
establishes intent. However, established where there is interest in measuring within a certain district. Those measurements are going on right now, Matt, through a transportable system instead of the MET system.
Right, but just because someone has a MET tower doesn't mean that they've got an active permit. So right now we have no active permits.
No.
Okay, so what? Here's what I'm going to what if here. Careful doing that. But what if, because we want to move forward with hearing at least, we put a moratorium on it. Can we put a moratorium on accepting any wind farm applications at this point? Provide notification in Gage County to anybody that has potential easement to let us know, because our current process isn't going to allow us to hear the public who wants us to hear them by following our process, which is kind of crazy, but that's the process. I think we should at least hear anybody who comes here, whether or not, you know, we divulge how we feel or what we're going to do, but really we can't really even hear what or set, make a recommendation for anybody to review or amend or potentially look at anything, because we've got to provide notification to everybody that might potentially affect. And since we don't know who those people are, your process is stalled, or yes, our process is stalling what you want to do. Is that the way I see it?
It's not, yeah, and it's not stalled. It's just we want to make sure that, you know, again, there's a couple different things here. We do have people that have vested interest, not in regard to your question as to whether we can force people to record their interests. The answer is no. With the attorneys in the audience here, they would tell you you file with registered deeds or lease or interest and stuff, so you are the public's put on notice. Now, if I choose not to, that's my risk.
But if we ask and say in the next 60 days, please do this, if not, we're proceeding. Because we're making a good faith effort to find out who these folks are. If they don't want to, that's absolutely their right. I agree.
But it shouldn't
stall the process, what we're trying to do here.
Supervisor Hill.
I think we're making this notification too hard. I mean, we have requirements for our meetings as far as publication and that. And if we do that, I'd say it's met. But in addition, we've only got a couple of companies that we're working with, and they can notify the people that are, that they're working with.
When you say we're working with, the board isn't on it.
The companies, the people that the companies are
working with, contact them, they should be able to contact the interested parties that want to contest our text amendment.
Right. Yeah.
And that may be true, and that's what we're trying to resolve.
Yeah.
So we don't have to do this again.
Yeah.
Because again, think of the hours that have been put in the last 2 years on this issue.
Right.
And that includes a lot of volunteers, both these folks and the P&Z people. That's a lot of work.
So prior to P&Z putting this on their agenda, we need to know how to notify people, correct?
That's basically what we're trying
to
find out.
So our standard procedure in a special use permit process is that you have a designated area and you actually send direct letter to those landowners who's ever being affected. So essentially that would be a mailing. We don't know, other than we know that there's probably 200 plus landowners that have easements either through the last 10 years, perhaps maybe they've been renewed not sure, you know, to what extent they are, but that's probably about how many partials are involved.
But then on the...
I started processing it, and it's like, whoa, I don't know how to do that.
From the Prairie Wind Watcher side, though, I assume their opinion would be it's not just the 200 parcels that are listed, it's the people that are all around them as well. So this might be something where we have to do some type of blanket advertising.
Well, yeah, we will do that. That's that, and I, again, there's no question, as John, Mr. Hill pointed out, we do a publication where we have a meeting where there would be an action item such as this. So that's not the issue. The issue is because of the other vested interests. And I had a map, Lisa, drawn out for me very nicely, give you guys an idea of what we were looking at. It's just, it's a lot of notices, and that's, quite frankly, the statute doesn't cover that, so we're trying to be sure we're doing it right so we don't have to do it again.
With all due respect, though, for everyone involved, the proper notification when it comes to landowners, you know, doesn't technically get those, you know, sees the public notification process unless it's a direct mailing, do they? I mean, you have landowners that may be affected. Even for you guys, you have landowners that may not get word of, you know, what's happening. The upcoming hearing is coming up because they may live in out of state. So pro or con, that's what our question was, is especially if there is easement of any sort or a behind the scenes agreement that's been met between a participating and a non-participating agreement.
So if we have to blanket an area, go ahead, John.
Well, right now we have no special permit, right?
Only permit towers. I don't know special use permit, only additional use permits that are on pending for net tower.
So I don't think we need to look at, we need to look at our, what our requirements are for our meetings, and then we need to notify the developers, and they can notify whoever they want to notify. These guys will notify whoever they want to notify.
That's correct. But that's, I think that's a fair way to do it because, like I said, you can't. This is what we went through with Lancaster County. That's more or less what we did there. We didn't have this notification. We applied for a catch amendment, and they notified NextEra, and we patched it out. That's all there was to it. I mean, we've been through this process in Lancaster County. I didn't see if it was that difficult. We're looking to update our regs. I guess you guys are going to have to decide, too, whether we want to update our regulations or not.
And really, I know it seems unusually slow, but that would be originally to P&Z, and then the recommendation would come to us, hopefully with participation from the board at P&Z meetings as well. In the interest of planning, do you have any idea what type of time frame we'd be looking at before, if I mean, I assume this could go to P&Z for discussion regardless.
We've been discussing, you know, we're just waiting for some direction, but again, we had the discussion at the time that we reviewed our regs that we didn't have desire unless the board was, you know, giving us direction to start with this process. It's a matter of how we properly notify the people.
So that's another
special use permit process.
That'd be another argument then. Does the board have, the P&Z has decided they don't want to look at it unless the board tells them to. Is there a desire from the board to instruct P&Z to reopen their regs and look at an amendment?
I just caution you for that. The reason being is I don't know if everybody's had a chance to look at what is involved here that they're asking for before you give them direction at P&Z level.
Should we review this and then?
Well, two things, I guess. And again, I've been working with people as well as, you know, because the statute, like I say, isn't as clear as some counties would like it to be as far as the noticing. I was concerned about the cost of doing this, not only in the terms of time, but as giving people notices. They've got some good ideas, and I'm not saying they're not fair. But anybody that's worked around the law knows fair doesn't always mean it's legal. So that was my concern, because there are people that have vested interests. As Mr. Bowen pointed out, some of them are on record, some of them aren't. But this could potentially affect those people. We can do publication, which we will do. Let's see here.
to look at the setbacks. Today they're stating that they would like us to address other things, so I'm sure they're going to need a little bit of direction how to, at the same time, address the other points of concern. But their amendment that they filed was only for the 1 mile setback.
No. It's about the way that the sound testing.
Because they had asked for a nonpartisan third party to do the testing.
The way test has been done in other areas.
Yes,
so that's what
we're
asking for.
So those were the majors. Is there anything else that you're asking us?
Right now, that's what we have on the text. That's what we would file. But right now, the way they're stated is that it's more or less we have the fox taking care of the hen house. And we've seen this happen in Blue Hill where the wind turbine companies came in with their testing people to test the sound complaints. And, of course, they passed. So we need to have an individual look at it. Once again, the board chooses who's going to do this testing, and they'll pay for it.
Mr. Ballard. I'm sorry.
Just from a timeline standpoint, because boards change and planning and zoning, the makeup of this board is different than it was the first time. I see this process probably being in excess of another year and a half, possibly 2 years, because if we're going to change something, which we spend a significant amount of time and research on, and I quite frankly purged all of my information. So if we're going to now have to look at information that confounds the previous information or is now new, both parties are going to have to review that, and then the other side, if you will, they're going to present their side. So that we're opening up Pandora's box here to go back and look at these. And I'm not for or against at this point of the process. I'm just saying that's what we're looking at here. This will not be a quick process. It hasn't been. It will not be. I would be surprised if this is done in another year and a half.
Is there new information? Or just the increased size of the towers?
And then once again, we're talking about testing. I've just seen the way it's done in the other counties, and it's not done correctly.
I will commit to you to give you a decision within 30 days. Now, I don't know where that puts.
P&Z will not be meeting until most likely we're too late for November, so the earliest date would be December date, which technically is usually December, what's the second Tuesday?
The 10th.
Okay, so I think that is
November. December what?
But if we were going to publicize anything, proper notification, things like that.
Well, we've got to put it on the agenda for the 10th, and then do whatever notice. Even if we just go with the companies that are out there that we know of, which that's a definite we have to do. We'll have to go through that process of notifying them, and I'll have a decision as far as whether we have to notify the other leaseholders.
In fact,
that's eliminating, their lease interest.
So just
so we all understand.
In the interest of time, then.
And that's why I think Lisa and I, that's why we're talking. If you're going to take that right away, and that's a little different than just modifying it.
So, well, we have a 30-day commitment there. Lisa, would you work with Roger back and forth to figure out what we need to do?
Lisa's done a very good job on it. And it's not an issue that Lisa's dallied on at all.
Trying to
it's
do better,
a notice
Lisa.
Thing. But if
the main thing is that we're open to the public and we have the opportunity to be heard, and so you can offer things to the Planning and Zoning Commission and to its board, so we want to make sure you're heard.
And please let the record know, too, that they have come in, we have supplied them with whatever information currently. If they call, we try to give them what's happening in our industry and if they have any firm updates on the internet. So that's shared with them.
And like I say, we do have a timed event, so not to cut this short, but we really do need to. That'll give you a little idea, though. There'll be some type of answer from the attorney's office to P&Z within the next 30 days, and we'll start planning accordingly. It doesn't mean it'll be on the agenda right away at P&Z, but there is at least a time frame that you're working with now, and that should move things forward.
When I shoot that to Lisa, I'll also get in touch with you, Larry, so that you can disseminate it too, as far as what the notice requirements are. And we're just going to have to time that as far as the 10th. I mean, are you okay with that? Set it for December 10th. Okay, that's what we're shooting for then.
And I just want to thank Lisa. She's really helpful to all of us. But one of the things I really want to get across is, you know, Prairie Wind Watchers, there's a lot of us, and there's quite a few people that showed up today in support. But we have a lot of people that come to us anonymously, talking to us about what they're hearing and their concerns, and there's a lot of people out there that are very concerned about what they're hearing. And we've met with NextEra on private property. We're trying to work with them directly. We know what they're doing. They know what we're doing. So it's not going to be a big shock to them when they hear that we're filing for this testimony. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there that want to hear this, want some changes.
Well, hopefully there's some common ground.
The essence of land use planning is
right.
Getting sites together to find compromise.
And we're trying. We tried working.
No, I understand. That's what the last time the board went through this.
They didn't come talk to us.
We had a compromise.
Right.
So it works out, even though sometimes, as a judge, as an intelligent judge says, when I have two people in front of me and they both walk out upset at my result, that means I probably had a pretty good result. And I think we achieved that last time. Both sides were not happy.
But we appreciate your time.
Yvonne, Larry, thank you. I'd ask for a motion to close bids for the award of the Culvert Project, Gage County, ER-CP 3242, C34, 1158.
Second. Eric, if I can make one comment. If anyone else wants to comment after we open these bids, I think we can come back to
them. Yeah, that's a good point, John. We do have a timed event. Procedurally, we do have to open bids now, but there will be time after this again if you do want to visit about this. And I'm sorry, moved by Dorn, second by Bauman.
No, by Hill. Moved by Hill.
Moved by Hill, second by Bauman. To close bids at 9:35 on the clock. Vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Galen, these are material only bids.
Yes. Planned quantity 54, so total price for $8,661.60. Next one on the list is steel head wall. Planned quantity is 2, unit price $2,800, total amount $5,600. Next on the list, steel wing wall. Quantity plan is 4, unit price $2,125 for a total of $8,500. Next, reinforced steel aprons, 204 planned quantity, 60 cents per unit for $122.40. Steel sheet piling, planned quantity 375, unit price $8, total amount $3,000. That would, for, total for that project is $25,884.
Could you repeat that, please? Repeat final number.
Oh, that's for being sarcastic. Okay, you come over here. Total for the project,
$25,881.
Okay,
thank you.
Sorry.
I know.
Did you change that number because you were 884 the first time?
That's what I thought. Yeah,
$25,884.
Yeah. You just said 881 just now. Yeah. So
let's try to get your numbers right, Mr. Brown.
I said 881.
This chair is warm if anybody else would like to sit here. Okay, moving on. Still, there's an alternative here. 72-inch, 56-foot corrugated middle pipe with two elbows. Planned quantity is 56. This would be for a 72-inch corrugated middle pipe. Unit price, $124.20. Total amount, $6,955.20. Next on the alternate would be a steel head wall. Planned quantity is 2. Each one is $2,600 for a total of $5,200. Next, planned quantity of 4 for a steel wing wall. Price each $1,750. Total price $7,000. Next is the reinforced steel for the apron. Planned quantity $204.60 each. Total price $122.40. Steel sheet piling, planned quantity $375. Each $7.75. Total $2,906.25. Total for the alternative, $22,183.85. Galen, is there any reason we would split these up per pipe or just the project and then the alternative?
No, it was for per project.
Okay, so I'm not going to read them. We've established what the main project and then the alternative is, so I'll read the total cost. Okay, this is from Metal Culverts, Inc. out of Jefferson City, Missouri. Total planned price, this is for the 84-inch corrugated metal pipe, $26,993.05. The alternative, total cost, $24,566.65. Maybe you need to repeat that.
Could you go through each item for me?
You can get that after the meeting. Mm-hmm. Get more than that after. Midwest Service and Sales Company, Skyler, Nebraska. Planned project, this again is a 84-inch coordinated pipe, $25,937.09. Alternative project, $24,697.87. Everybody has a bid bond in here. Contact Engineered Solutions out of Lincoln, Nebraska. In the bid bonds here.
Right. Got mine in here. Yeah. That's all in the hands. I trust you a lot.
84-inch corrugated pipe project of plan cost $24,367.60. The alternative, $21,422.30.
Which company was that?
Contact.
What was the last company's name?
Contact out of Lincoln.
Thank you.
That is. Okay. So we have 4 bids, all are red. Anybody need anything repeated? Oh, last company.
Our parent low on the bids that were red would be Contact. I suppose normal procedure would be have Galen review these and give us a recommendation later at today's meeting. Galen, Becky, I'm sorry. Um, As John said, is there anyone else that would like to speak about the, while they're reviewing those, speak about the wind turbines or potential wind regulations? This would be the time. Any other discussion from the board on the wind regulations at this time?
It'll be a long process.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Sheriff, I guess you're up then for some introductions.
First, I'll introduce to you our newest deputy. This is Mike Hager. He was born and raised in the DeWitt area, and so I have to step up here and just tell you just briefly about him and his background, and we'll move on to the case. Mike?
Sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
As Sheriff said, I'm Mike Hager. I was born and raised here in the area of DeWitt. Graduated from Tri-County, class of 88, went in the military, served 21 years active duty, and then worked 10 years for the government as a firearms instructor for a schoolhouse, and decided to move back here to Nebraska and continue to serve the community.
Well, we welcome you.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Mike's going through 12 weeks orientation at FTO training right now. That'll be going. I think we got a slot for him at the training academy about January, so we'll be hitting the trail on that pretty quick. Next up is our new doc handler, Deputy Zach Beal. Zach's been around here. You can recognize him and Buster. Zach, do you want to touch base a little bit on the training stuff you had?
Deputy Riedel, I did 6 weeks with dog training with a group out of Papillion and Douglas County. 5 days a week in Omaha for certification for narcotics. We passed. He passed really good, and he drugged me along for the most part. He is a super smart dog. He is very high drive when it comes to what he does, and he does definitely love doing it. It was a challenging and great experience so far, and really looking forward to having a lot of good years with him. So, any questions about anything? I mean,
how's he bite?
We did have a learning curve of who was in charge.
Show us your arm, Dax.
My arms, for the most part, have healed up.
When it came to him
giving up his toy for training purposes, his narcotic scented toy, he wasn't sure that I was in charge and he needed to give it to me. So I think in the 6 weeks, I got bit about 6 times. I got an infection from one of the dog bites, some x-rays to make sure there's no bones chipped or broken. That was in the first three and a half weeks. After that, did pretty good. Since we've been back, September 25th is when we got certified. No problems at all he's not aggressive. It's just that his high drive and just learning who's in charge. I mean, he's 4 years old, and Colton was his handler before that. So a four-year-old dog trying to learn that I'm his new owner handler within a couple of weeks was just a trying experience, but we made it through. We certified, so, and he is definitely doing much better, and I think he's attached to me a little bit more.
Well, he's got an energetic look just standing there.
He is all muscle. He is. I contacted Nestle's out of Crete, and they are donating all the food to the program. I just call them when I'm out. I make arrangements to go to their company store, and I pick up a couple bags at a time. It's the Pro Plan Sport. It's their high protein, low fat. So at a 50-pound bag, I think it runs about $67 in the store. So I get, he goes through about a bag a month. No, but that's where we are.
Well, Mike, we welcome you. Buster, we welcome you back. And Dax, we look forward to all three of you putting in some good time here for us. Thank you much.
He promised me he'd get as much drug money for a new car as I can next year. So
outstanding. Yeah. Bring in the bucks.
Your puppy has a big smile. That's a good thing.
I do want to point out, Marilyn Coffin's here. Her and her late husband Lee were the ones that donated money to buy Buffter 4 years ago. So thank you very much, Marilyn. Okay, here's the foundation in Weimar. No, they were invited too. But anyway, they were big supporters as well to get the program running. So we expect good things. He, good little mods, did say, I think they graded, they tested number one out of the teams that were there, but we'll wait for the final results from the instructors. But
outstanding.
Very well. Very well.
Well, we want to thank all the different organizations and people that do give money to the programs, not just in the beginning, but also the continued support. Without that community involvement, even on the dog food end, programs like this really don't happen. So from the county, we want to say thank you.
It's wonderful. Yes, it's fantastic.
Thank you, Sheriff. Up next, approve or disapprove visitor improvement grant to City of Weimar for McCandless Park project for phase 3 restroom concession facility in the amount of $30,000.
I'd make a motion to approve. This is using the visitor improvement fund, which comes from lodging tax. It's not local dollars. I always vote for these. I think it's a good thing. So I'll start off by saying approve.
Second. Moved by Bowen, second by Lytle. Angie, are you here to talk
yes.
about this?
Hi, I'm Angie Bruno with the Beatrice Area Chamber and Gage County Tourism. Thank you for the motion and second on that. This last week at our Tourism Advisory Committee, our group discussed the grant application for the Campus Park Improvement Project, and we're very excited to see it come to fruition. This would, with the completion of the one-room school at the park as well, this would just really help pull things together, and then the plans for putting the park in is just going to improve visitorship for the Weimar Blue Springs. I guess, do you have any questions for us on the project?
I'd love to see these projects when we improve family spaces and areas that include the small towns, and I'm Weimar's a small town, but that's our family places. It makes a community. Drive through those to see the parks and the buildings are kept up. It makes it a nice place for people to want to live.
And although the grant request is for $30,000, the total project here for phase 3 is $121,000. I assume most of that is other donation and.
Yes, so they have raised $82,000 so far for phase 3 of the project. They did a project with Big Gig Gage, and they raised. Over $25,000 for the Big Give Gate. I didn't have that number right off the top here. So that with this $30,000, they'll be right on track to finish the project for phase 3 and get it started with site development this fall or as long as weather holds out, and then hopefully have the concessions restroom portion completed next year.
And I can't even say enough for that Big Give Gage event. It was fantastic.
It really was. Kudos to the Gage County Foundation and the Beatrice Community Hospital Foundation for coordinating those efforts.
Yes, it was just absolutely wonderful.
Yes, really
when
great.
When I have another one, as many of you that can make that event, please do. It's wonderful.
Just like with the K-9 program, that community involvement, regardless of where we are, that's what keeps Nebraska going in our small towns. We have a motion by Bauman, second by Lytle. Any other discussion on the visitor improvement grant to the City of Weimar? I'd ask you to vote. 6 in favor, the motion carries. Thank you.
We can take it all out of Beatrice Chamber budget.
Let's talk about that.
Up next, we have a vote to approve or disapprove the year-end certification. The County Highway Superintendent.
To approve, put on the record that he is certifiable. If there was any doubt, now it's okay.
This is something new that they started doing. We have to do. Okay?
Determine incentive payment.
So this is a certification. Yeah, this is to get our incentive payment, but we have to fill out a certification, and then we have a resolution now.
Okay. Okay.
This
so
is probably similar to what we do with Lisa, with emergency management. Didn't we get into a pickle when there was in the transition
one time when we didn't notify. Yeah, so there's just letting them know, I guess, who's the boss.
All right, we have a motion by Bauman, second by Hill. Any other discussion? Vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. Approve or disapprove resolution for signing of the year-end certification of County Highway Superintendent form for 2019.
And this is resolution 19-35.
19-35?
Yes.
We have a motion by Beyer, second by Bauman for resolution number 19-35, signing of the year-end certification for the County Highway Superintendent form. For
this
2019.
Is giving you authority to sign that certification as well.
Okay, we'll each have to sign this form before
right.
we leave.
See, this gives you authority to sign.
Which this vote will be just for the authority to sign the form that we just approved. Vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. There will be a form here we'll pass around real quick and have each of you sign. Approval or disapproval of funding request from CASA in the amount of $10,000. We discussed this 2 weeks ago, and it's on the agenda for today. We gave them an indication that it looked favorable, but a decision was not made at that time. So here's the actual vote.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion made and seconded.
Further discussion?
Is there any additional discussion for the funding of CASA? They're asking for $10,000. This is the court-appointed special advocates that basically help coordinate all the other helpers
service,
in the system, services.
Services and review the what the court's doing with the family.
I think there's a value in this program. They were here, then they were gone, now they're back again. I understand the program. I just would say that we can't have any more people coming asking for public money. We just can't. We've got that $28 million. We've got the sheriff that needs stuff. There's no more meat on the bone. I would discourage anybody from coming forward. And I'm sure there's enormous amounts of really good programs that are out there, but this isn't the well to come to anymore. You gotta have to go someplace else. Go to the Big Give. Sounds like they did a bang up job. Seriously, go to those places.
I would also ask for the county attorney to review how this goes over the next year. And when this comes up for next year, this is a 1 year agreement, 1 year funding. At that point in time, we'll reevaluate and see how this is working.
And I was just noted in response to what Mr. Bauman suggested. Amber Lovett just took over the directorship. She did have a booth. She did participate in the Big Give, receive some money. I have no doubt next year she'll come in, with plenty of time to also raise some money and go through that Big Give. And again, that's what that kind of stuff is designed for. You're right about it. There's a lot of good projects out there. We'd love to fund them all, but you guys have to make decisions. It's a tough decision.
Any other discussion? We have a motion by Bauman, second by Hill, to approve or disapprove funding request from CASA. Vote. 6 in favor. That motion carries. Up next, approve or disapprove the Gage County Public Defender Agreement for July 1st, 2019 through June 30th, 2022. We discussed this Monday. I had a discussion with Mr. Tyman about the contract, and I'll ask for Roger's help here in a second. The biggest change to the contract would be some wording that allows for him to do some more lower level cases. If there's a felony and there's a right now, even if there's a felony case in progress, if there's any issue with well, instead of me trying to describe it, maybe it would be better to have Steph and Jim, they're here.
Well, yeah, they've waited out the whole
thing. Lee's up in district court, So he sent the B team.
Steph, could you give us your name for the
Stephanie
record?
Clark. I am past public defender, Lee Timon's partner, and Jim and I both are listed as deputies, and occasionally we'll do a case here and there for Lee. So I'm here to kind of explain the felony cap that we would have instituted originally, probably back in 2008. And at that time, we had two attorneys who did public defender and probably almost an equal number of civil cases. We determined what we could each handle as far as felonies at 20 to 25, and also leave us time to do our private practice. Lee specializes in criminal defense work. So Lee spends all of his time doing either private defense work or public defender work or appointments in other counties. When we defined the felonies, we counted it as any case that was bound over to district court, even if it was later reduced to a misdemeanor. If it had gone to district court as a felony, it stayed on the felony cap. If it was a revocation of probation on a felony, they were still looking at a felony sentence, we considered that a felony case. And then any case that had, lost my train of thought. Any case that was an appeal that was a felony also stayed on there. Under the new arrangement, the new definition of a felony case, if it is a felony case, it's bound over to county or to district court as a felony, but it goes back down to a misdemeanor level. Once the person's entered the plea on the misdemeanor, it no longer counts. None of the motions to revoke probation or appeals will count. And under the current cap of 40, that would put 13 to 15 more cases available for Lee to take. So while we can never get rid of the fact that there will be conflicts, because we can't represent Mr. Smith and Mr. Jones when they both robbed the Caseys, for example, this will get rid of Lee being capped out and unable to take new appointments, because usually he hovers at about 37, 38, gets up to 40, maybe gets to 41, other people get appointed until there's a sentencing. Then he's back down, takes those appointments. Under this, we would expect, although it will happen, he will get to 40. We don't expect he will be at 40 for very long, or that there will be a lot of other appointments for non-conflict cases. And when we do have a conflict case and it's a close question, we try to follow Lancaster County Public Defender's policy, which is pretty lenient. We obviously can't represent the same person in the same crime to co-defendants. If it's a completely different matter that we represent them on, we will pick up that case. There's no cap on misdemeanors, juveniles, or appeals or mental health hearings. No cap at all on those.
It appears that almost all the outside cases that we pay for now for outside attorneys, those are conflict cases, correct?
I think a lot of them are conflict cases. Some are because we're at our felony cap, because Lee takes 40. Under this, Lee's no longer at 40. He's at 28.
And Mr. Nelson does have a current law license?
As far as we know.
Okay, all right. I would check on that.
We only trot him out for special occasions.
Okay, well, check that license just to make sure. Can he come and appear before us sometime? You've got some guy that I don't know who that is over there.
Oh, Mr. Nelson is... We've had him do some of the mental health cases. We figured that was something we can send him.
You helped him with mental health?
Yes, yes, yeah.
I needed that support.
Roger, do you have anything to add to this?
No, I'm not going to say nothing after that. it is helpful. That language is helpful. And honestly, there's been some times, like for instance, on what we call violations of probation, or we now have post-release supervision.
Those won't count either.
Right. Well, I, yeah,
But my point was that I don't think Mr. Tyman counted all those always, because a lot of times those can be disposed of fairly quickly with a phone call. We get something worked out with probation, and that's assuming that the client comes in and visits. And again, that's a problem that causes some consternation for anybody that does defense work, is just making sure their client comes in so they can discuss their rights and so forth. But
It's a good program. It's a really good program. Did we adjust that compensation? Have we gotten to that?
That's what I was
just going to say that my office, and again, I don't want this to sound like we're in cahoots or anything, but we work well with Mr. Tyman and his office, I certainly, for the record, we have no issues at all with his ability to practice and represent indigent people in this county, so we'll leave it at that.
And we carry a $1 million per incident, $3 million aggregate malpractice coverage, which is in quite a bit in excess of what is required by the contract. We have a full-time office here in Gage County. When Lee's up here at court, when all of us are up here, we've still got two people at the office answering the phone and making appointments for people and processing paperwork. The last 4 years, there's been no increase to the contract. Lee is willing to lock in the rate that we proposed for 5 years. If the board wanted to lock it in for 5 years, he's willing to do that. And I can answer any questions anyone might have.
The discussion on Monday, and I told Lee this, I thought we'd go in closed session to talk about this. I guess since I visited with Roger, since this is an outside contract that's not being bid and there's already offers on the table discussed Monday, we won't do that. What I talked to Lee about yesterday was going from the 149, which has been where it's at for 4 years. I believe a 2% increase was somewhere around $3,000, going from 149 to 152. First year 155, the second year, and 158 the third year. Lee wasn't liking that real well. I mean, he didn't dislike it. He just said, I said, is there somewhere in between there that I can come back to the board and discuss a price? But I said, that's what I was authorized to go talk to him about. And he said he'd like to be at that $16,000 per year increase. That's when we talked. I said, there's no workload increase. He said there could be several cases that he could potentially take now that he isn't currently. And I guess that was more or less my discussion with Lee. I told him we'd visit about it today, and he told me the two of you would be here. So I guess I throw it out there for the board for discussion. It's just a matter of is the board happy at that dollar amount, a different dollar amount, presenting that to Mr. Tyman, and then seeing if that's acceptable, and if not, deciding what route we want to take. Mr. Lytle?
With Steph explaining that, kind of showing where there's actually added value to the contract, I wouldn't have any problem with the original amount that they brought forward.
When we discussed the money, I think it was 3 years since there was an increase, but for 4 years, right?
4 years. 3 years, the last three-year contract, it stayed the same each year, and I believe the dollar amount, it switched from Steph doing it to, when it switched to Lee, he stayed with that same dollar amount.
Yeah, the first agreement was Steph. After the third year, it went to $149,000, and then when Lee's contract came up, he stayed at $149,000 for those 3 years.
So it was $133,000, moved up to $149,000, and then stayed there your last year, and then the first 3 years now. This is the first contract we've had with Lee directly.
Do we have a three-year contract or a five-year flat contract in front of us?
Currently three. But that could be changed.
That's the same rate.
Now, discussion Monday, of course, was we've kept other dollar amounts flat or moved up at a smaller percentage. This would be... Well, this would be the largest increase that the largest increase the county has seen on a year-to-year contract.
It wouldn't be a lot of percentage points.
But you're spreading it over 7 years, more or less. It's going to be 165 for the next 3 years, right?
Yes.
Is it three or could it be five?
If the board wants to accept it as a five-year, we would Lee's willing to make it a five-year contract at that rate. But what is on the table in writing is the three-year. But if the board would wish to do it as a five-year, Lee is agreeable to that, too.
I don't like spending more money on things, but I will throw out there on when we have to hire outside I suppose court-appointed attorneys outside of our contract. It's nothing to see a $5,000 bill for one of those court-appointed attorneys. If we would save even, I mean, Mr. Tymon, I think, was probably conservative on the number of cases he said he could increase, but he said several. I mean, if we had three or four, five over a year's time, that would be that difference, I would think. I mean, Counselor, is that accurate?
It's accurate as long as, again, a lot of those outside counsel or conflict cases where we have multiple defendants, and there's no way one attorney or one firm can represent more than one person. And that's the nature of the beast. Drug trafficking, unfortunately, when the law enforcement goes in for arrest, we sometimes have anywhere from three to nine people. We had one where there are nine people in there and they all get felonies. Well, guess what? Mr. Time is going to get one, and the judge is going to start making phone calls for eight people. And that's unfortunate from the standpoint of paying for representation, but that's the nature of the beast. So there will be some savings, though, as far as the cap and him being able to work more of those cases.
I guess I would be okay with amending to a five-year contract if we can do that at this meeting. And I assume we've got a termination clause in there for some reason or either side become unhappy.
Well, it's for good cause showing, which that's the standard. It's, I mean, that's the trade-off. You lock in a price, but he locks in a contract.
It does just have a termination agreement. So and they may be terminated prior to followed by mutual.
Mutual agreement. Roger, have you had a chance to review the contract? I mean, is there anything that you
know? Yeah, I've looked at the contract. There's nothing. I mean, he's got some other stuff in there. I think we talked about that before as far as some savings as far as for the county for continuing legal ed.
Yes.
For you and, yes. Mr. Nelson wouldn't be covered taking, which there's some things like that are in there. But there's basically this similar contract to what we've had in the past, other than the compensation and the definition of felony cases, which is
and you know, in addition to salary, we're covering expenses for training also. That's in here.
Yeah, and part of that, Danny, is that's required by statute.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and you're only paying for Lee's CLEs. You would only provide CLE for Jim or I if we were to assume
of CLE, continuing
legal
education.
Yes. So the board only pays for Lee's. And
I just
only
wanted to make sure
we
made part of the record that
yes,
this is
that
something
is,
else.
It would only be if I were to resume
5%.
A 5 or 10% caseload that then my CLEs would be included. But if I'm just stepping in here and there to cover, if I take a case here or there, no, you're not covering CLE for Jim or I.
But yeah, at this point in time, we could make any changes to that. We'd make a motion with these items changing. So if you want to increase or decrease pay, compensation, increase or decrease length of term, it would just be, that would be what we would offer, and it would be based upon Mr. Tymon agreeing to it. What does that work out to? I mean, I hate just looking at things based on a percentage, but what does that work out to on a percentage increase from 149 to
well,
165.
Percentage?
Yeah, what percentage is that? Is that 10?
22%. Over 5 years, it's 2.1%. If you jump it all in 1 year, it's 10.7%. There's been 4 years of no increase, and we're offering an additional
5.73.
So if 4 years, 2% increase had been there, that'd be at about 162 now.
I guess it's hard for me to judge. I don't know what an hourly rate should be on that. I mean,
this isn't just Lee's salary. This is a portion of a nice office down the street with two staff people that are there full time answering the phone. There's a lot of paperwork involved with every single court case. On Tuesdays, we have one person that does nothing but open files and make discovery requests. I mean, there's just a lot of paperwork involved, so it's not just a salary. It's a portion of an employee who we pay all the taxes for, all the benefits for, raises for. It's everything included. You're not paying any taxes for Lee. He's not an employee. He's not getting insurance. It's in the contract.
I think everybody understands that. I mean, that's just like any contract we have. It's just instead of giving a variable increase per year, we're doing it all at once. So instead of it, you know, increasing gradually, you get the back end pay up front. So, I mean, it's not, when you think about it like that, it's not a 2% increase. It's, you know, it's a 10+% increase because it just stays there. If it was a 2-something% increase, it would variably increase. Otherwise, you'd have to surmise that total over the 5 years and then bring it back based on that instead of a step up each year.
Is there ever any reimbursement from the person that we defend over the years?
One time.
She knew that answer right away.
One time. And it was $500. And it went to the county.
We ought to change that and see if we can't do it on a regular basis.
There's a statute that says once someone is appointed a public defender, the attorney who's appointed is not to inquire about their finances. So it would be for the court to make an inquiry or a determination. We are precluded by statute from doing that once the determination is made.
I thought you guys could do anything you want. You got out of law school.
No.
Not to keep your license.
as far as the term goes, how long have we been with y'all?
Me personally, 20 years, probably 19.
Okay, so is there any reason we wouldn't do 5 years over 3? Is there anything foreseeable that we lock in at least some known, something that's known?
I would have no problem with that either.
Lee is an extremely talented defense attorney. I was lucky he was available. He'd been in Hutchinson, which is a big area in Kansas, high crime. He did high-level felonies. He's, you know, his family is here in the area. He's going to be here.
And you all might not want to hear this on my side, but I guess personal opinion, these deals for the county, state, things like that, in my personal line of work, they're usually not the highest paying, but they're gravy because you know they're going to pay every, you know there's work. I'm always a big fan of doing low margin work if I know it's there every day. You make a lot of money doing low margin work if you know it's there every day, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and that's what this is.
Well, it's not 24 hours a day, 365, but it's all, I mean, it's what Lee does full time.
Right. So, I mean, that's, I'm just throwing that out there, too. I mean, when we're looking at dollars and cents in contracts, it does not get better on the private side than a consistent job. And that's what this is. This is a consistent, everyday job.
But it's a part-time job.
It's a part-time job. I would like to see something, I guess, lower than that, but I'll throw it out there for a motion. I would still like to see a stepped amount. I don't have a problem with the 5-year, but I'd ask for a motion.
Make a motion that we go over 5 years at the 165 starting in this first year.
I'll second that.
I have a motion by Lytle.
5 year for what was
165.
For each year.
Each year is 165, correct.
Okay, so Lytle and
Hill. Second by Hill. Any further discussion on the public defender's contract?
It would be a flat contract for 5 years. If that contract were to increase 2% for 4 years, it would have been at 161,282. In the fifth year, it would be at 164,508. So we're basically there. Basically be there at 2% a year.
Except we're front loading it. It's my kind of contract. I just want to throw this out. Who wrote this contract?
Lee presented.
Both of you, or just one of you?
I'm sorry.
Just both of you wrote it.
No, it's the contract I wrote years ago. Right. Lee made some modifications to it.
I just want to make sure it was you.
That's
essentially the same contract that we've used since Tom Spinar, who was the original public defender and my employer. So it's the same kind of that we've always used with modifications here and there.
Okay. That's just my cynicism coming out.
Oh.
Any further discussion?
That's still a lot of money for a part-time job.
Can you read the contract for me, Danny?
I would ask you to vote. We have... Supervisor Hill, Bauman, Byers, and Lytle voting yay. Supervisors Tiemann and Dorn voting nay. Motion carries. And we do thank you for your work. As we talked about all this, there were no negative conversations about the work performed. I tried to be very upfront with Lee about that, too.
We understand.
We're always trying to get the most bang for our buck, but we do thank your firm.
So we'll get a contract up here probably later today.
And thank you both for your time and coming down.
Who are you going to have write it?
I'm probably just going to tell my assistant to change that.
Hey, thank you.
You better get out of here.
Hey, Steph. Your 10 o'clock's not there yet.
I know that.
Do you? Right now? With that, we will go back to... We will go back to the culvert project, Gage County, ERCP 3242 and C341158, culvert bids. It appears we have a recommendation.
The low bid for the 84-inch pipe with contact for $24,367.60.
I make a motion to approve the Highway Superintendent's recommendation for the culvert project.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, second by Lytle to accept the Highway Superintendent's recommendation to contact supplying the pipe for these projects for $24,367.60. Vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove amending resolution number 1801 to correct some typographical errors in compensation package. Ms. Hill, would you?
I don't know for sure who did this.
The biggest change
I didn't
is
type
the
it.
Clerk's
could have been my
office.
Staff. But when we were calculating, like the percent was a, actually it was Roger's deputy that we caught along. The percentage said 80%, but the dollar amount didn't match up, and then there was like a penny here, a penny there with the rounding on the other figures, and then there was a year on the election commissioner pay. It started at 17 instead of 18 when the resolution was written. So to clean up all this for the auditor to match the dollar amounts with the pay, I just felt we needed to amend it to get everything cleaned up. So that's where we're at. 19-36 would be the new resolution number.
We have a Motion by Bauman, second by Lytle for resolution 19-36 to correct typographical errors in resolution 18-01. Discussion?
Yeah.
Vote? 6 in favor. Motion carries. Anything else for the good of the order? I ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Doran, second by Hill. Vote? 5 in favor with Bauman vote. 4-5 in favor with Bauman voting no. We are adjourned at 10:26 on the clock.
Can give the clerk more work if I do.
I get back at 45.